Continue on the same subject, Esti Malter.
Peace and love. First of all, I want to address the title of this workshop that basically has nothing to do with this workshop, as we're in the whole spirit of Malcolm talking about building unity. So my premise is, yes, we could trust each other. I think the question that we have to address is what stops our unity. And I hold that it's white supremacist ideology. And that's what I'm going to be basically talking about. I've been an activist in the revolutionary tradition of Malcolm in this city for many years. Electropolitics are not what I'm active in. I don't see that as the answer to our people's daily needs. I see it basically as a tactic that is always misused. I think that first of all, we have to talk about what unites us. Yes, it's a history of slavery, a common history of slavery. We too, as Latinos, from most of Latin America, came in the slave ships. So our roots are in Africa. And that includes, of course, our Native American roots. We have been colonialized, neo-colonialized, exploited, not only by the Spanish, but by the United States. So we know exploitation in the same way that our brothers and sisters here know it. And then for those of us that were forced to come to this country for economic reasons, for political reasons, we have had to face poverty on an active level. So we too know what it is not to eat, to live in the streets of New York City, to be abused and misused by the government of this country. In that process of being part of the reality in this country, it didn't start yesterday. It started years ago. Okay? Latin Americans have been in this country before the Pilgrims. And what is New Mexico? What is Nevada? All that is part of Latin America, which, as the lands of the Native Americans, were taken away from us. But in the migration process to this country, and there have been many rich experiences of that unity that some people say does not exist and cannot exist. And that unity is basically a working class unity, a unity that is forged in our daily struggle for survival in this country. One of our leading, and I would say in the 30s, communists, Jesus Colon, he has a book that people should pick up to understand the process of how we, as Puerto Ricans, as Latinos, get discriminated just as blacks because we come to work in the same factories. We are maids. We do the same work. And then we have other people, as Arturo Schomburg. I mean, most of you know the Schomburg Library up on 131st Street. The brother, Puerto Rican, who grabbed our history as a people of color, and linked it directly to the African-American experience. And then there's Carlos Cook, an internationalist from Santo Domingo, who also worked very close to Malcolm during the periods of the 50s. And I could go on naming people who have been active in struggle. But I just want to, because I don't have that much time and I have a lot to say here, just want to point to just I guess, three more struggles that I think are key. One was the civil rights struggle and the development of the Black Panther. At the same time, the Young Lords Party developed. Young Puerto, and if you read the 12-point program of the Young Lords Party, it's exactly the same as the Black Panther Party. And there was unity. And we went to prisons together, and we fought in the streets together. And we started the breakfast programs together. Then, during the same time, one of our leading people, Evelina Antonetti, was real active in the Brownsville struggle around education, and was a fighter for not only for Puerto Ricans, but also with the Black community on the need for education in this city. One of the things that for me were very key was the Attica Rebellion. When the prisons in New York City, the brothers started fighting back, wanting out, wanting justice. Basically, many brothers were killed by the U.S. government. And that struggle, you could see the unity there, actively. We died together, but there was unity. I teach a class on migration in the Latino community, and I showed this film to a group of students called El Norte, and one of the women, an African-American woman, started crying in the class, and she said, I never knew that Latinos went through the same thing, are going through the same situation as we did during slavery. That there was there is an underground railroad today, that the spirit of Harriet Tubman still lives. And again, the women forced unity daily. We forced unity trying to fight for our daycare centers, to deal with the issue of violence in the home. This is the kind of work that's being done in our community today. And it's not only Latinas and African American women. The unity is fourfold. Asian sisters, Native American sisters. We work very hand in hand to make sure that our needs are being met in all areas. Now, what separates us? Racism. White supremacist ideology. That's what separates us. And how we internalize that. Okay? And how we internalize that. I differ from what Anita said earlier, that is our racism. Okay. We're not racist. We have no power to be racist. But we are very good at adopting the master's attitudes. And I could tell you stories about my mother, honey, you know. When Dinkins went, my mother was the first one to say, "Say Negro." You know, we can't trust them. Okay? And now she's still saying, "I told you we can't trust them." So that the attitudes are real. They're there. But that doesn't mean that they can't change. We have shown that in our active struggle, we have been able to change those attitudes. However, the likes of Cuomo and Bush and whoever, they know how to use us, and Latinos have been used as buffers. And today, we're still being used as buffers. And what does that mean? That means that a Dennis Rivera president of 1199, can become the vice president of the Democratic Party. And all due respect to the brother, but the bottom line, and he has blonde hair, blue eyes, and white skin. And he's traveling on a white skin privileged path. And let's be clear about that. And I know that for sure because Badillo was given that pass also. Okay? And he basically destroyed our community. That's why when people talk about, well, you know, the pharaohs and them, they didn't want Badillo to be mayor. Hey, Badillo, the pharaohs, they don't represent the black or Latino community. They present clear class interests of the white males in this city. Okay? Not us. We don't need them to unite. No way we need to unite. Okay, we who suffer the boot on our throats daily, that's where the unity needs to be made. Because no matter how much unity they forge, you know, and I was saying to some people, you know, Malcolm saying the chicken comes to roost, all these brothers and sisters who work on Dickens' campaign and got jobs. I mean, I'm talking about progressive people forged in struggle. And there was this big issue that maybe some people heard about this brother, Willie Nieves, who got fired, basically had fired because he supports Puerto Rican political prisoners. And when Dinkins says, when Mandela came here and Dinkins said that he didn't want the Puerto Rican nationalists to be on the same platform with Mandela because they were terrorists, okay? Willie was one of the few people who stood up in the Dinkins administration and said, wait, they're not terrorists, they're our patriots, how dare you? He's out of a job, okay, because he won't lick ass, and that's basically it. Okay? So this is basically where I think it's all coming from. Now, how are we going to change things is something that we have to seriously look at. That's the question that I'm going to leave for you to answer. Okay? Included in this racism is that we are denied information. Hazel Dukes, the former director of the NAACP, okay, she made a statement that Ecuadorians were not Latinos. Clearly, the woman doesn't even know geography, okay? But the bottom line is that this woman is black, okay? We should know each other's history. We want unity, then let's learn each other's history, okay? Now, Malcolm says, I'm real sorry that I don't know. I only know English. And he taught himself Arabic to read the Quran. And I think it's a shame that in this country, with so many Latin American people, refuse to learn Spanish. When most of your Latin Americans know how to speak English, you know, and then they want to pass the English only law. And some black people tell me, hey, that's good for us. You know, that is lack of information. That is believing what the oppressor says to us. So, where do we go from here? We look at Malcolm. And for me, outside of, you know, I'm one of lovers of Malcolm, and I touched Malcolm before I even read his book, because I couldn't read at 17. So my stuff was always listening to the man and hearing what other people said and looking at the films. But outside of loving him for just being, for fighting back, for raising above the misery in this country and totally identifying with it, because at 19 I was an alcoholic also. So I understood when he talked about the addictions. I think that for me, what's key to look at is Malcolm's internationalism. I think as African Americans, as Latino, we have to take actively what internationalism means. You know, the Cuban people have shown us the way, as hundreds of them gave their lives for their brothers and sisters in the motherland. And Angola called and Cuba answered. And in unity they stood in Quito Carnaval and died. And whether or not all the Cuban people agree, Fidel says very clearly, we are all Africans. Okay? So in the same way that we struggle actively in support of South Africa, I think that it's important that we struggle actively in support of to be free. So it's our duty as people of color to take it up. I mean, you're talking to a person who came to this country when she was 3, who at 22 was the first time they went back home, and who did not speak Spanish. Colonialism destroys. And it destroys our minds and our children's minds, okay? And Malcolm was real clear on what colonialism did to African people in this country. And he called for human rights under international law in the United Nations. And as Malcolm did, we Puerto Ricans are calling for the same thing. We want decolonialization, and what that means is transfer of powers. Release of all political prisoners. There's more than 200 political prisoners in the United States. There are more than 20 who are Puerto Ricans. Freedom fighters, political prisoners who are in there for 200 years, who are being tortured daily. Withdrawal of the military from Puerto Rico, okay? 1/4 of the land in Puerto Rico is controlled by the military. And now they want more. And now they want more because now they want to use the southern part of Puerto Rico for maneuvers to prepare troops to take them to the Middle East. We want economic reparations. We are old. We have been exploited and abused, and we are old, and we want it. And you know, in the newspaper, they've been talking about this plebiscite, that is the idea of referendum, and if anybody's interested, I'll tell them what all that means later. But the bottom line, okay, Puerto Ricans are the ones that have to decide our status. Right now, the United States have a plebiscite, a referendum. We all vote for independence. They'll veto. We're an occupied country. And that's the real deal. And they will veto. We have no say. So what I say is that true, long-lasting unity must be built from the ground up. In the streets, dealing with our daily issues. Built on our common interests, understanding where we don't have unity. And it's okay. It's okay. You know, we don't have to unite in everything. Only thing we have to unite is who's the enemy. Okay. One last thing. We, as Malcolm, Puerto Rican community has Albizu Campos. Pedro Albizu Campos, who was tortured in U.S. jail, and as Malcolm in 1965 died, And they both left a militancy of struggle and revolution to us. I leave you with this thought, okay? In their words, aliso, la patria es valor y sacrificio. Freedom or death. Patria o muerte, venceremos. Okay.